Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Talking Giants football with you. Lance Meadow, John Schmelk. 1 hour of Giants talk here on Giants.com. Getting ready for the game everybody calls the dress rehearsal, Lance. Preseason game number 3. It is also the MetLife Bowl, the battle for the Snoopy Cup, Snoopy Trophy, whatever you want to call it, between the Giants and the Jets. And, you know, winning is great, bragging rights is great, all that stuff. But here's the bottom line. And Tom Coughlin has said it all week, and he's been pretty emphatic about it. He's seen mistakes over the course of the first preseason games, mistakes in practice. Now, all NFL teams have this now. But he really wants to see, both offensively, defensively, and then on special teams for the trifecta, everything just tighten up, become better, become smoother, become more in sync in this third preseason game. Because, I mean, look, we heard from Coach after preseason games 1 and 2. He was not pleased with the performance of either first team. He made that pretty clear. So he wants to see that get better in week number 3.
Well, and you also want to be able to gain some momentum, John, heading into that regular season game, because let's face it, the fourth preseason game against the New England Patriots, it's going to be a very rare sight to see a starter or two in that contest, unless they just want to give maybe someone like Victor Cruz some work who hasn't had an opportunity to get into preseason games. Now, it's difficult to build continuity when some players have been in and out of the lineup, but I think that you're going to see a number of familiar faces out there tomorrow against the Jets, and that will certainly be a step in the right direction with respect to the offensive line. I mean, that is certainly one facet of this team to focus on tomorrow. Jeff Schwartz having another game under his belt. Marshall Newhouse was banged up in practice. His status is still up in the air, but you know they're trying to build some continuity here, and at least they're going to get the nucleus back on the field tomorrow. And then the key position on defense is going to be what really happens with respect to the safeties, John. There's been a number of injuries at that position. Brandon Merriweather's probably going to get a lot more snaps, a lot more playing time tomorrow, so we'll see how he starts to gel within this system. Cooper Taylor should return.
Yep.
He's been dealing with a toe injury, so it'll be nice to see how that group comes together.
Hey, look, and these young guys, and Landon Collins is number one on this list, they need experience. You know, talking to Howard Cross over the past of this week, he's been here, and then obviously other analysts who are in the building. I saw Carl Banks today. You know, these young safeties in this system with all the calls they have to make, all the adjustments they have to make, Lance, they need experience in as many games as possible before the regular season gets here. And remember, Brandon Merriweather, he might be a veteran. He's been in the system for 2 weeks. You know, he needs snaps too. So all these plays and snaps, especially at that safety position, are valuable. And these guys have to make the most of them. And that's how you get better. And that's how the team gets better. But someone's going to have to step up. Whether you got the two vets out there with Merriweather and Miles, or Landon Collins obviously have an opportunity now, or if it's Cooper Taylor, you know, Nat Burhey's injury status, re-injuring that calf, is still up in the air. A lot of the reports out there, the Giants haven't confirmed that yet. But clearly this is an injury that has bugged him all offseason long, and he can't seem to get over it. So I don't think you could put Nat Burhey in your immediate plans here simply based on the injury history with the calf. So you have to move on without him, and you figure out where you're going to go next. You lost Justin Curry, you lost Mykal Thompson. So you're looking at those two vets. You're looking at Landon Collins, and then Cooper Taylor, I guess, you know, Justin Halley, C.J. Conway. I think those are more, you know, maybe practice squad type of candidates. So the guys here are going to be the guys here.
Well, and you also wonder, I mean, you mentioned practice squad candidates, John. Who knows? Depending on what the health of this nucleus looks like heading into 53-man cut day, you know, they may be in a position, John, where they have to keep an extra safety or two that they maybe did not anticipate as a result of just not having enough healthy bodies. It's not a matter of not having playmakers. It's just you want to be able to maintain a solid number, at least in the early goings of the season. So it's very early to start to speculate, you know, who may be in line to get to the practice squad, who may be in line to make the roster, because I think injuries is going to dictate that very much. But getting back to the safety position here as a whole, John, you know, right now it's this game of mixing and matching, you know, who gels well with one another and so forth. And I'm going to bring up my term, a game of musical chairs.
Well, I was going to say,
because that's essentially what is taking place right now.
I thought for a second maybe only offensive linemen play musical chairs and maybe the safeties played a different type of game.
Well, I do. I have to get a little bit creative with the jargon. jargon here. Maybe, we can't duplicate the terminology.
Maybe the safeties can play duck, duck, goose.
That's always a good one. What about Red, Red Rover, too?
Okay.
Come over, you got to break the line. You know, that was one of my favorite games when I was younger as well.
I imagine you probably weren't very good at Red, Red Rover.
No, well, I mean, look at me. I could only get through so many big bodies and so forth.
You can go under the arms.
That's true. That was certainly a way to manipulate the rules and regulations.
A couple other things to keep an eye on. You mentioned the cut down to 53. That happens 2 weeks from tomorrow on the Saturday after the Patriots game, but the cut down to 75 will happen on Tuesday. So this will be the last chance for some of the guys on the back end of this team trying to make a roster to show the coaches, you know what, keep me around for one more game, where quite frankly, that Patriot game is so valuable for the guys trying to make the roster because they play so many snaps to show the coaches what we can do. So this, as much as the fans are excited about the first half when you're going to see the starters out there, and look, I'm excited about it too. It's going to be great. The second half of this game is going to be very important in deciding who's going to be on this team come Tuesday at 5 o'clock.
Absolutely, because a lot of the players, as you mentioned, on the back end of the depth chart, John, are going to be out there for the bulk of the third quarter and the fourth quarter. You know, one position in particular, even though there's some injuries, the wide receiver position. You know, are they going to maintain everybody on the roster after that 75 cut, or are they going to maybe cut ties with one of these wide receivers? The competition has been intense, more so than any other position, John, that I've seen on this roster, especially keep in mind they're coming off this Jaguars game where, you know, everybody who got in the game looked pretty good. James Jones was impressive. Corey Washington made some plays. Jeremy Davis certainly has flashed here or there. So everybody who has had their number called has taken advantage of their reps, which means, okay, now how do you separate yourself from the rest of the pack? I think the second half of the Jets game will probably go a long way determining who stays and who goes.
And though in the running back position too, can another running back force their way onto this roster like Orleans Darkwell, like Akeem Hunt, because of their special teams ability? And frankly, how about the defensive line, Lance? You probably have, you know, 10 guys that have a real case for a roster spot, and that's not even including Jason Pierre-Paul in the mix. Who knows what's going to happen with him? So will they keep all 10 guys, or one of those guys going to get eventually let go at some point here? You know, that's something to talk about. So there's a lot of things going on in this game that fans should really watch. Ryan Nassib, I think the coaches like to see play a little bit better in this game. And then you have the matchups against the Jets. You look at the Jets' strengths, and I think all those strengths are good tests for some of the perceived weaknesses that some people have questions about in terms of the Giants. You have a Jets defense, while they probably won't do as many varied fronts and crazy blitzes as they did with Rex Ryan. Look, Todd Bowles brought the heat in Arizona. He got pass pressure. He did blitz. So you'll see some of that in this first half against this Giants offensive line. And we'll see if Weston Richburg can go with that knee. That seemed to be a bit of a question yesterday talking to the coach and Weston.
Dallas Reynolds has seen some work at practice this
Dallas
week.
Dallas Reynolds would go, which would be a good experience for him. But you would like to see Richburg out there with the other starters. Marshall Newhouse, likewise, will be a game day decision more likely than not. He got stepped on in practice the other day. The injury does not seem to be serious. They hope he'll get out there sooner rather than later. Flowers is good to go. Pugh good to go. So you think that left side of the line's been together. Great experience, but you want to see that right side with the starters out there. Throw Jeff Schwartz in the mix there, too. Who knows where they're going to put John Jerry and mix him in as well. You want them in there against a really good Jets defensive line and see how they can do. Not just protecting Eli, and that's part of it with the blitzes. Run the football.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the best run defenses in football. And I think the Jets are going to be one of the best run defenses in football. Let's see them move that Jets front seven around a little bit. A
lot of run stuffers on that team, on that defensive line. And actually, it's a positive, John, and you alluded to this. This is now two consecutive weeks where they're going up against very aggressive front sevens, because the Jaguars, if you look at the numbers last season, and they have pretty much the same personnel groupings coming back this year, very good at getting to the quarterback and very good at stopping the run. So now you're going to play another team that's emphasizing those two goals. You referred to the offensive line. Two players that I'm intrigued to see more of, assuming Marshall Newhouse doesn't play: John Jerry, if he gets more time at right tackle, John, and how about Bobby Hart? Let's not forget about him. You know, this is an intriguing player, and Jerry Reese spoke very highly of him during his pressers right after the draft. He could see some more extended time at right tackle to determine how his progression has gone about throughout the course of training camp. Remember, it's an opportunity for the veterans as well as the young guys to go out there and make a statement.
I remember, third-day guys, there's no guarantee of a roster spot. The way these things play out, the Giants have cut seventh-round picks before. I'm not saying Bobby Hart's going to be one of those guys, but they have to earn their way onto the roster. So if Bobby Hart continues to play the way he is, and remember, the Giants weren't going to confirm to guard until they had all the issues at tackle, and now they've had to move him out, and he's done a pretty good job. But again, he's done a good job against second and third stringers, not against starters, but he certainly showed that he might be able to be that valuable depth and swing tackle, though we haven't seen him out on the left side quite yet. Maybe Pugh can be that quasi-backup left tackle if something would ever happen to Eric Flowers, knock on wood. But he right now looks very good. And when a draft pick that's that young looks good, it's going to be real hard to keep him off that final roster.
We've seen some seventh-round picks go on the practice squad, but then again, if you flash as a seventh-rounder even, John, it may be hard to store a player like that on the practice squad. And as you mentioned, you know, now that you lost Will Beattie, at least for about midway through the season, timetable still up in the air, you know, then all of a sudden Marshall Newhouse gets inserted into the starting lineup, who is going to be your swing tackle.
Yeah.
So now, essentially, with Newhouse being inserted into the starting line, you're looking for that starting swing tackle, a guy that you could plug in throughout the course of a game or maybe some of your sub-packages.
Unless you decide, and if Marshall Newhouse can't play, we'll see if he does, maybe you really like what you see with Jeff Schwartz at right tackle and Jerry at right guard, if that's how you start the game. Maybe you decide that's your best alignment. So I think the alignment of the offensive line early in this game, with or without Newhouse, and how they do depending on where they put Jeff Schwartz, I think you're more likely to see Schwartz at right tackle than Jerry, in my opinion. I think they're more comfortable with Jerry at right guard, and then you bump Schwartz out there. We'll see how what they end up doing.
Well, but here's the thing, John, and this is only based on what Schwartz has said, and he's been a very flexible player within this organization, very versatile.
And in his career.
He just seems to vocalize, and this is just me reading between his words. Don't read into it any more than that, that he likes the right guard position, John. Well, that's what I get the feeling.
You aren't reading between any words. He flat out said that to me on our post-game radio show after the second game.
So that's why I'm saying, while, yes, they may want to see him at right tackle, I think at the end of the day, right guard and Jeff Schwartz are going hand in hand as far as I'm concerned.
I think in the best case scenario, the Giants would love to plug him in a right guard and leave him there. But if the Giants think that this team is better off and the line is
better off
with him at right tackle, then you know what? Sorry, Jeff Schwartz, you're going to have to figure it out.
Show the flexibility. No argument there.
Right.
I just think as of right now, if you have other options that you could test out at right tackle, like a Jerry, like a Hart, perhaps you go through that at least for the next preseason game or two and then evaluate and say, okay, heading into the Cowboys game, where do we want to go from there? And I think at this point, Marshall Newhouse's injury, knock on wood, doesn't appear to be serious. So the goal is obviously he'll be back up and running even if he does miss tomorrow.
All right, and then very quickly before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513, we have a full bank. Defensively for the Giants, look, the Jets, they're not going to be, despite the presence of Brandon Marshall, despite the presence of Eric Decker, they're not going to be this throw the ball 45 times down the field type of team. They're going to want to run the football, number one. And if you remember Chan Gailey's offense in Buffalo, it's a lot of short passes. So we're going to see these Giants linebackers have to cover, and we're going to see these Giant linebackers have to tackle in space. So that'll be interesting, but more importantly than that, Len, stop the run. They're going to try to pound it with Chris Ivory. Let's see this Giants defense stop the run.
Well, and the Jets have a number of running backs. Let's not forget, they were very aggressive in free agency. They brought in some players
Zach
who were
Stacey.
Banged up. Steven Ridley's another one, but once again, he's not fully healthy, so they do have some options. Ivory, though, is a tough guy. He's a guy that can certainly get 20 to 25 carries a game.
Is Ridley playing Saturday? I don't
Ridley
think
is
so,
still
right?
banged up.
He's
yeah,
still,
he's expected to start
yet, right?
the season on PUP.
That's what
Correct.
I figured.
But they at least have some options in terms of who they're testing
Bilal
out.
Bilal Powell?
And so for Bilal Powell, there's another one. Look who's been sunning up for their fantasy team there, I see. Staying on top of things. Kudos to you.
Based on the draft last weekend, somebody didn't quite study up on their fantasy team enough.
Well, you know, by the way, are you giving your own grading or you're too busy? That's an extra thing on your plate at this point.
Maybe I'll have some time between
a
the final
synopsis?
Preseason game and the regular season game.
Okay.
Anyway.
Just looking at that.
Let's get to the calls.
One thing, though, I just wanted to throw out, getting back to the Jets. Prince should be making his debut. That's obviously a positive development.
Absolutely.
We're going to see Prince and DRC lining up.
And Landon's back. We mentioned that already.
Correct. And then you spoke about how the Jets, with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Chan Gailey, you know, like to get rid of the football very quickly. So that's good test for the linebackers on the edges. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good test for a guy like Tremaine McBride, who also just returned from injury out of the slot.
Very good. And Jaron Hosey is probably going to be back in this game, too. So that's a test for him. And we'll see about Reuben Randle. We're not sure. He did practice late in the week, so I would imagine he's playing. We didn't really get word on him dealing with that knee tendonitis. And no Victor Cruz, obviously. I'm sure you guys have heard that. So I think that pretty much covers all the injury guys. And no John Beeson, obviously. He's still trying to come back from that knee injury. No Shockey Brown yet either. He's still trying to recover as well. 201-939-4513. Let's go to the phones and start out. Let's go to line three to start and go to James all the way out in Ecuador. I'm going to try to save him on his phone bill here. James, what's going on, pal?
Yeah, hi, John and Lance. it's been a year since I've been able to call in on the show. I'm home in Akron, Ohio right now for a little vacation. so I'm able to call, and the only time I can call, and I am here, so it's like once a year. So here I am, and I'm on Skype connection, so I hope you can hear me.
Loud and clear.
What I'd like to do, what I'd like to do, John and Lance, is I'd like to skip down through some points just so I could get through this. And then maybe you can comment on whatever I say, whatever you do get from the communication. Is that okay?
Sure.
That's fine. Go right ahead. Rattle it off, and then we'll say goodbye, and you can listen on the computer. All right, James?
Hey, that's great. Thank you very much. First of all, James Jones, I've got a question for each of you. I'd like you to answer just yes or no, without spins, without anything else.
Yes.
And that is, from what you've seen of James Jones already, if you're making the decision for the 53 and the cuts, if you keep James Jones, one of the two are going to have to leave, Jeremy Davis or Washington. So do you believe that James Jones is worth letting go, Davis or Washington?
Well, I think it depends on, number one, can you put somebody on the practice squad? Do you believe you're not going to lose that player?
But
that's,
we don't know that.
You have to consider. You don't know that. You're
James,
right.
I'll give you a much simpler answer real quick. I think James Jones is one of the sixth best wide receivers on this team. Now, if there's a special teams issue, who knows? Maybe they'll make a different decision. But I believe from what I've seen, James Jones is one of the sixth best wide receivers on this roster right now.
So, if he is, then one of the two have to go, correct?
It would seem likely.
Correct.
That perhaps one of them you'd have to cut ties with.
Okay. All right, thank you. And the other thing is JPP. Now, I think you're going to find this interesting. JPP, I did some research. As silly and stupid as it sounds, I did some research. And on your hand, four fingers. Everybody got four fingers, right?
I have five.
We're supposed to have five last time I checked.
From a strength standpoint, your index finger is 30%. Of the strength of your total fingers. Your middle finger is 40%, then you have 20, and then your pinky is 10.
Okay.
Okay, so JPP lost his index finger, so he lost 30% of his strength in his fingers. So that only leaves him with 70% of his finger. Now, we don't know, but we speculate that there's also problem, maybe damage to his thumb as well.
Okay.
Now, how much, we don't know. If there is, we don't know.
Correct.
But that and other fingers, damage to other fingers that we don't know about either, just from what we do know, which is he lost his index finger, I think when we're talking about broken arm tackles, I think that could be an issue. And I think that's what any running back is going to, about once they're running against JPP, if he's out there, is which side am I going to run on him? Am I going to run on his right side, which would be his broken, you know, his hand damage? Oh, yeah, I'm doing that all day long because he's not going to be able to get me with an arm tackle.
Well, James, look, I'll say this. I mean, look, we've seen NFL players play with, you know, big gloves on their hands and, you know, the big rat cast and all that stuff, and they make do. Are they going to be as sure-handed tacklers? Probably not. But until we see him here and we see what he can do in whatever condition he ends up being in, we'll find out. What else you got, James, real quick?
I couldn't agree with you more. Just something to think about. As far as Heinowski is concerned, I think because of the offensive line issues and you know, the musical chairs, as Lance would put it, I think with all of that, and that's an unsettled situation, but I think the Band-Aid there is going to be Heinowski. I truly believe Heinowski is going to be key in the run game.
Okay.
At least starting out anyway until things get settled down.
Final point, James.
Final point. I got to tell you, I'm just not happy with Flaherty. I think that everybody, I guess I'm going against the grain here, but I think Flaherty, with the offensive line issues that we've had and the backups that come in and really don't contribute, I don't know that he's the guy in the future. Or than Gilbride was, you know, the defensive coordinator. Maybe it's time to move forward with somebody else. If the offensive line, if that's who we're pointing the fingers again at the end of this season, then I think we got to take a look at that.
Thanks, James.
All right, James. Appreciate the phone call.
Appreciate it, my friend. And James tweets us often from Ecuador. I think James Tipper is his screen name on Twitter.
Multifaceted.
Yeah, I want to add a couple things, and I'll get to the Flaherty thing back. I want to rewind for a second, James, to your point on James Jones. And I think you have to look at Randall's knees, too. I mean, I think the more you wonder about Randall's knees and whether or not he can sustain throughout the entire year, the more concerned you are about Randle, the more valuable James Jones becomes.
Good point.
Because to me, he is the perfect guy to step in there if Ruben Randle has a issue that might can keep him out from game to game. Perfect guy.
Knows the system, a seasoned veteran, and so forth.
No question about it. Going back to the Flaherty thing, and look, here's the thing. I'm not in the meeting room, but everything that I've heard, not just from people in the building, but from people around the league about Pat Flaherty is that he's one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. I have a close relationship with Sean O'Hara, with David Deal, with all the guys that have been here on the offensive line, and those guys who, by the way, were not super high draft picks. Kareem McKenzie and Chris Knee got picked in the second round, but
Sean O'Hara, undrafted.
And David Deal was in the middle rounds, and then Richie Seibert was undrafted. It's not like Pat Flaherty was dealing with a bunch of first-round studs when he built, by the way, maybe the best Giants offensive line in their franchise history, which goes back about 90 years in 2008. So I have a hard time selling myself based on what I've known and what I've seen since I've been here that the offensive line issues are with the offensive line coach. That's all I'm saying.
No, I think injuries have certainly taken a toll on the offensive line over the years. I don't think you can necessarily overlook that.
And hey, look, and the old group got old. It happens. And
absolutely.
You have to rebuild it.
And there's a lot of young guys who have not necessarily been in the NFL that very long. I mean, Flowers, now you add that to Richburg, you add that to Pugh. You know, let's not treat these guys as if they've been here for 5, 6 years,
correct.
John. Still a very small sample size to even work with those guys who are considered the core of your offensive line moving forward. Some of the other players that are composed of the offensive line have only been here for a very short period of time. Marshall Newhouse just walked in the building, so Pat Flaherty hasn't really had an opportunity to work with him as long as he's had with some of these young guys, which is still a small sample size at the same time.
And if you go back to that 2013 NFL draft, there were a lot of offensive linemen picked in that first round and picked ahead of Justin Pugh. And Justin Pugh in his rookie year actually played a lot better than a lot of the offensive linemen picked ahead of him in that draft. The kid that went to the Chiefs, you could argue that Pugh and Lane Johnson were, you know, pushes that year. Neither guy was, you know, both guys, I think, played about equal.
Even Luke Joeckel for Jackson.
That was the other guy I was trying to think of. Yeah. Thank you. You know, and Pugh outplayed a lot of those guys that year. And I think you have to give the offensive line coach credit for having a guy you're picking towards the end of the first round outplay guys that were top five picks in the NFL draft. The guard that went to Tennessee, Warmack, he played better than him in his rookie year. The kid Jonathan Cooper that got picked, he got hurt, didn't play in
Arizona.
That year. So, I mean, there were a lot of offensive line picked high that year, and Pugh outplayed a ton of them. So, and I think that's a credit to the coach. And that's why I think Pat Flaherty deserves some credit for that. But we'll see what happens at the end of the year.
Well, what you just noted is the positive trend has been, John, the rookies that they've brought in over the last 3 years have been thrown right into the mix. It's been essentially baptism by fire. And considering that compared to the rest of the rookie class who play similar positions, it's quite impressive how those players have transitioned year number one right off the bat.
And Flowers has looked very good at left tackle. Now, I want to see him go against some premier rushers over the course of a four-quarter game against starters, but considering a rookie at left tackle, he's looked pretty good. 201-939-4513. Abdul's out in Minnesota. Abdul, thanks for being patient. What's up?
How you guys? I was wondering, how is the final 53 decided? Is it a 50-50 decision with Reese and Coughlin? Does Reese have the final say? Say, for example, Coughlin wants Cunningham at tight end, or Reese wants Robinson. Does Reese make the final say? I was wondering how the final, how the final three is grouped together.
Well, I mean, I think everyone sits down in a room, all the coaches, the front office personnel, scouts, you name it, or at least the scouts that are still here. Like when I say scouts, I mean more like the pro personnel folks that watch the team. The college scouts are already out back on the road watching college practice at this point. They get together, they talk about the guys on the roster, and they make a joint decision. I don't think, you know, anybody has a veto power over anybody else. They try to, you know, talk about it and come to a joint decision. Now, if there's literally a 50-50 split and half the room says one thing, half the room says the other, I don't know, maybe John Mara breaks the tie. I honestly don't know how that works, but I know they like to try to reach a consensus, and then they go with that.
All right, fair enough. And then also yesterday, the last 2 days, I've been kind of having ongoing talk about Jerry Reese's inconsistency about building a roster. And for some reason, people have been hearing me saying that I want to get rid of the two Super Bowls that he won. I've never said that. I'm so happy we won those two Super Bowls. All I was saying is that we should have won more after that. And people are kind of getting, disappointed and impatient.
Well, Abdul, here's the thing. This team should have won in 2008. I mean, heck, 2008 was the best team that I've seen here.
Well, and Abdul, the other thing that I want to add to that, and you could certainly make the argument, as John just pointed out, that the Giants, especially that 2008 season when they were arguably the best
dominant
team in the National Football League, I've never seen a team run the ball with three different guys as effectively as they did. But, you know, let's even look at the two Giants Super Bowl victories. And this is, I'm trying to put things in perspective across the NFL landscape. How much luck and how many things need to go right to win a Super Bowl in the NFL, regardless of how talented your team is? So, you know, when we say, hey, this team should have won X amount of more Super Bowls, you know, the injuries need to cooperate. The ball needs to bounce your right way. I mean, think about when the Giants won their first Super Bowl against New England. You know, if Asante Samuel doesn't drop that pass, who's to say that the Giants get that last drive? So, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from either team, but so much has to go right every single postseason run for you to get to that level and win a Super Bowl. And I think that that's a better way to look at things as opposed to, oh, well, this team was dominant on paper, therefore it should have been a no-brainer, they should have won.
No, my point was, I'm trying to make, is that we've had Eli for it. You know, we're wasting some of his time. And for first example, last year, at the end of last year, what were our two biggest issues? Offensive line and safety play. Right.
Well, now, I mean, I would think in that top three is also stopping the run on defense. To be fair, to me, that was maybe your top or second biggest issue.
Those were the big flaws. Right now, today, before the Jet Giant game, we still have issues at safety. We still have issues at offensive line and stopping the run. But we addressed the special teams on offset of the offseason. These are kind of things that frustrate people, and you know. I'm hoping that this year things fall together, but people are getting a little frustrated because we see glaring issues and they're not being addressed year after year after year after year. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
I hope they win. I want them to win. I felt the same way in 2007, and what happened? They won.
Well, look,
I'm hoping I'm proven wrong.
I will say a couple things on what you just said. I think the safety position and the offensive line arguments are two separate arguments because I think this team did try to assess and improve the offensive line over the last couple of years. They've used one first-round pick and two second-round picks on offensive linemen in the last three drafts. They went out and they signed Jeff Schwartz.
Well,
two first-round picks and one second-round pick.
Yeah.
My mistake. I'm sorry. They went out there and signed Jeff Schwartz. They re-signed Will Beatty, their franchise left tackle. So they've done things to try to secure that offensive line. Now, has everything not worked out? Heck, Will Beatty hurt his pack in the offseason. Any team that loses their starting left tackle is therefore going to have to scramble a little bit to figure out what they're going to do on the offensive line. So I don't think that's necessarily a big problem. Hi, Pat Hanlon. How are you?
Say hello to the fans.
Is.
Yes, exactly.
No problem, Pat. Do you want to jump on the program? I will happily kick Lance Meadow out of here. Yes, it
is. Yes, it's the whole nine yards, Pat. We're stepping up our game.
Yes. Have a good one.
I understand, and I'm just this could be more nerves talking, and just, you know, because things aren't solidified, and we're going into our third game. But you know, as I said, I felt the same way in 2007, and I was. Oh, hold on, a lot of
background
noise.
You're getting distractions on your end, just like we are here.
I'm okay. and it worked out 2007, and I'm really hoping this year I'm happily surprised.
But all right, Abdul.
I'm just really nervous, but hopefully we'll turn it around. Thanks, guys.
We'll find out
all
soon.
Right, Abdul.
Thanks,
appreciate
Abdul.
The
and you know, and
Thanks
the
so
other thing I was going to say before Pat Hanlon walked in on our show was, let's see if they can stop the run. You know, you say they still can't stop the run. I don't know that yet. I'm not judging whether this team can stop the run off of a quarter and a half of football in the first or preseason game. So let's see how that works. Do we know for sure yet? No, but we don't know for sure that they can or they can't. That's all I'm saying.
Got to see this whole group as well. Remember, John Beeson also is now banged up, and he's a big part of helping them stop the run. So let's see a four-quarter game, John, essentially, before all of a sudden we say, hey, there may be a continuation of some issues from last season. Still a very small sample size in the preseason. And I'll add this. If you go based on the Bengals' performance versus the Jaguars' performance, John, there was a big improvement in terms of stopping the run because Cincinnati had over 200 yards rushing. Now, granted, the starters weren't in for very long, but Jacksonville, how the starters did against the run, certainly drastically improved.
201-939-4513. Jeff is up in Rhode Island. Jeff, you're up next, pal. How are you?
Hey, guys. Lance.
Hi, Jeff.
Johnny, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Okay.
Doing
okay.
Well. How's everything with you?
Listen, you know, I have a great concern about what's going on with the defense, especially the secondary. In my opinion, I've stated this before, I thought the defense was going to go a very long way in determining the season for the Giants.
Absolutely.
I wasn't too concerned about the offense. I thought the defense was really going to determine the outcome of our season. With what's been going on, you know, with the safety situation, I thought that maybe the Giants might be entertaining the idea of perhaps trading a draft pick to come up with a good veteran safety playmaker. The other day, I'm sure you're aware that the Michael Kay show was out there, and I was listening very intently to what Jerry Reese had to say. And the word trade did come out of his mouth. He didn't say that they were going to trade for anything or anybody of that sort, but the word did come out of his mouth. So, I mean, what are you guys thinking? I mean, we can't rely on the cuts from other teams to come in and, you know, hopefully to get a starter out of some of those guys. I just don't see what other direction they can go. And so what do you guys think? I'm going to hang up and I'll listen to your answers. Okay, guys?
Thank you, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Well, look, as always, and I hate to quote Jerry Reese, but I will, the Giants will keep all their options open. Now, time to get a little more specific than that. We've seen in the past the Giants have decided to make some trades to try to get this roster better. Just go back two seasons ago. They're having some issues stopping the run at linebacker. What do? John Beeson. Broop. Makes a significant impact on this team when he gets here. So if a guy becomes available that they believe they can get at a fair value, you know, I'm never one that likes to trade high draft picks, especially not first or second day picks. I just don't like to. You know, that's how you get quote-unquote cheap labor in the NFL, and that's how you fill out your roster with really good players that don't make a lot of money, and that's how you win games. Look at the Seahawks last few years. We talked about this a million times. They'll look at the waiver wire. I wouldn't put a trade out of the question. You hope Landon Collins can become a good, reliable starting safety as a rookie. And, you know, maybe a veteran like Brandon Merriweather or Jeremy Miles can give you that leadership back there and provide some experience that Collins can't yet because he's a rookie. But would I rule a trade out? Certainly not. I think it's a possible thing they could do, but I think they will try to get through those cuts first and see who they can get off the other team's rosters first.
Well, because right now there's really no one out on the free agent market, so I think that you want to wait and see perhaps if another team parts ways with somebody else. On the flip side, remember the Giants have also had positions of depth as they're narrowing down the roster to 53, and they've shipped guys out of town to perhaps either get a draft pick in return or get talent. Ryan Grant, for example, would be the first player
would
come to mind. So I think that the Giants have shown their desire to sometimes make trades and their ability to pull off a trade. So you certainly can't rule that option out. But I think at this point, as I've emphasized this time and time again, since we're very late in the game, John, you always first look at your internal options. And the reason why I'm still preaching internal options, you know, Landon Collins was out for one preseason game. Let's see him on the field with Merriweather. Let's see some plays. Let's see some reps before everybody jumps the gun and says they need to go outside the organization.
Yeah, and look, they have a couple of veterans in camp. I know I've seen people mention other guys that are free agent on Twitter, the Bernard Pollards, the Landrys, guys like that. But look, they brought in safeties for tryouts, and they signed the veteran they thought best fit the team in Brandon Merriweather. So they already did that. They know the guys that are out there. They think the guys on the roster are better. So let's see who gets cut loose from other teams then. Maybe they can make some type of deal at some point if they decide that's best for the organization moving forward. 201-939-4513. I believe Nick in – oh, Andrew's been holding the longest, right? Yeah, Andrew in New Jersey. What's going on, Andrew? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just wanted to quick before I get to my question. OC was one of the greats, and that line that they had in 07, OC, Strahan, Justin Tuck, also Kiwanuka, I think, in my opinion, it was the best pass-rushing line in the history of the NFL, not necessarily, you know, against the run, but as pass. And even the big guys that played in the middle.
Don't forget Freddie Robbins, baby.
Yep.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was underrated. He was a good run stopper and pass rusher.
Yep.
And wish OC well. He's funny. He'll do well on TV. He's, like, naturally funny and naturally likable.
He's smart, too.
And also, speaking of OC, you think Kiwanuka, is he retired, or you think he'll come back and retire as a Giant?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I haven't heard anything about Kiwi.
It's been
out there or
on
issuing retirement or anything like that. Andrew, that's a great question. I wish I had a better answer for you. I do not.
And speaking of Kiwi, it leads into my linebacker because he played. Mostly I want to ask two questions. Demontre Moore, do you think he'll play as like a swing type linebacker?
Nope.
Like a fifth or a defensive end, like a fifth pass rusher? And my main question is, with Beeson out, do you think the younger guy, Devon Kennard, will start in the preseason, and if he looks good, will he be the starter if Beeson is injured, or even if Beeson is ready to go? Do you think the coaching staff's ready to make that move to the younger guy?
I don't think.
And I'll listen off air.
Thanks, Andrew.
Two questions: DeMontre Moore, and then the young linebacker.
All right,
yes, sir.
Appreciate it. DeMontre Moore, no, I don't see him going to linebacker. I think he's a defensive end. Period. They'll rotate guys in, and not a lot. He'll be a pass rusher. And I think that'll be his role. Real quick on Kennard, I think whether or not Beeson's healthy, he's going to start, but he's going to start at strong side.
I agree.
He's not going to be the middle linebacker. I mean, since Beeson's been out, we've seen Jameel McClain in there being that middle linebacker. I think they like Kennard outside as a guy that can stop the run and also rush the quarterback off the edge a little bit in blitzing situations. So I think right now that's Kennard's spot. Maybe down the road they would consider something like that because he did play some middle linebacker at USC. But right now I think McClain's your guy in the middle.
Well, and all these players, specifically at the linebacker position, John, need to be able to move around. So they're preparing him to assume the middle spot. But I would agree. I think right now with Beeson out, McClain is the first man up. You keep Kennard on the outside. And the reason why you also keep Kennard on the outside, because we've seen some formations where they've actually brought him near down the line so that he has the green light to get to the quarterback. And as I mentioned, I think he could be a huge X factor in Spags' defense because of his versatility dating back to USC. But I don't foresee him being moved in at least the short-term future to the middle. I think McClain is the first guy up.
Yeah, remember this, too. JT Thomas started middle linebacker for the Jaguars last year, too.
Paul Posluszny went down.
So he theoretically be in that conversation as well. All right, we still have a full bank of calls. I'm going to try to rapid fire through some of these guys. Let's go back to the phones. Now Nick is up in New York. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, hi, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, Nick.
I called last week, and I was complaining about Jerry and Newhouse, and I have to call in this week to say that, yeah, they played better, and I noticed that they played better when they didn't play together. When you had Schwartz at guard and Newhouse at tackle, Newhouse seemed to play better. And when you had Schwartz at when Jerry went to tackle and Schwartz was at guard, it seemed like Jerry played better. So it seems like they can be serviceable but not paired together.
You know what? I think that's interesting, Nick. I didn't notice that myself, but I will keep an eye on it for this Saturday's game.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind, as you just alluded to, Nick, remember the goal is Jeff Schwartz going to be a starter. So the goal is to just have one of those two players that you mentioned be in the starting lineup, obviously barring injury. So, I mean, clearly, as long as Schwartz stays healthy, which the team is obviously trying to preserve him during training camp in the preseason, he'll either be next to Jerry or he'll be next to Newhouse, one of those two veterans.
And what is Richburg's status for the game with his knee? Is he going to play or not?
Still up in the air. We haven't gotten the official injury report as far as I understand it. Basically, Coach Coughlin said he was he didn't use the word, but the way he described him is that he was questionable. The way Richburg described himself, he was questionable. Here's the thing. When you have a knee, and as Weston Richburg said when he spoke to the media yesterday, it's not just inflammation, it's swelling up. You really want to calm that down, and you know the last thing you want to do is put him out there for a half of football, and then he can't practice for a week and a half, you know, leading up to that first regular season game, and he's in a lot of treatment. So I would guess, and this is all it is a guess, is that since it's only preseason, they would be pretty conservative with it, and they'd probably give him the weekend off. But they said Richburg felt really good yesterday. He felt much, much better. And if he feels much, much better again today and he shows up tomorrow and there's no swelling and it feels great, you know what? Why not put him out there? Get some experience. Get that offensive line working.
Yeah, especially against a very good defensive line. It'd be a very good test.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Nick.
No argument.
Thank you for taking my call.
You got
it, Nick.
Pal. Appreciate the call.
And I think it all depends on how Richburg feels today. And then tomorrow when he comes in for the walkthrough in the morning or whatever it is, and they'll figure it out.
Well, Coughlin did note yesterday that he said from talking and looking at Richburg, he did feel good.
Oh, much better.
They have obviously had somewhat of a recovery day yesterday, so they weren't going out there and practicing. But he did indicate that Richburg had made progress from the day he missed practice to all of a sudden what transpired on Thursday. So
and
we
should bring that up, by the way, because a lot of fans a lot of times call up and ask about how what the Giants are doing to try to prevent injuries and then have
new
so many guys
of technology
hurt.
Technology and so
well,
forth.
Well, yesterday was a perfect example, folks. They had a recovery day. They could have had a practice day, but instead the guys could do a bunch of different things that helped in recovery, whether it was massage or cold tub or yoga. I forget what the other three was.
The boot with the air in the boot. Did you reference that?
I did not reference
I know you gave a laundry list of other things.
The air boot.
The air boot, I guess we'll call it. I can't think of a better term to describe it.
What does it do?
Well, Shane Vereen mentioned that he sits down, he puts his leg in there for about 15 minutes, and it's supposed to obviously help blood flow and recovery and so forth.
There you go.
So guys could play video games. They could study film. You could get two things done at once. Very productive.
I think the coaching staff would prefer the film study to
yes,
the playing
exactly.
video games.
Well, I'm only quoting Vereen.
Oh, is
that's
that what he
I'm
said?
Vereen did say that. You could play video games. It's one option, but obviously he was emphasizing watching film and doing other things as well.
201-939-4513. So that is some of the stuff that the team's trying to do to prevent those injuries. Joe in Pennsylvania is up next. Joe, what's going on?
Hi, John. Hi, Lance.
Hi, Joe.
How we doing, Joe?
I didn't see Mosley for a while. I know his back. Is it coming along at all? I'd like to see him get in the mix. And do you think he's on the bubble at all?
You know, I have not seen him out on the practice field for a little bit more than a week since before that Jacksonville game. It is his back that's acting up. That's something that has bothered him in years past. I have not gotten much of an update on him from the coach. Nobody's really talked about him publicly a whole lot. I would not expect him to play this week, Joe. And let me put it this way. Mosley's been on this roster a long time. He hasn't been able to break into the starting lineup. Remember, last year at this time, he was your starting right guard in camp, and he let that slip away, and he did get banged up a little bit at the end of camp. So here's the thing. If guys show up now while Mosley's out and prove that they're better than him and they can be more of a help to the team, then, yeah, he'll be in danger of not being on this roster if he can't get out there and perform and show he's better than the Bobby Harts of the world and other guys like that.
Yeah, I thought he was having a decent camp early, but – What are you going to say or do? Do you think there's any offense or defensive lineman that's close to being on the bubble? I was just thinking him.
Or well, at this point,
some people complain, but I don't believe so.
I mean, when you use the term bubble, Joe, I think you could say that pretty much about any player because the competition is so fierce, specifically on the offensive line, as well as a lot of other positions. But, you know, until you classify somebody on the bubble, I think guys need to get healthy and get on the field. It's hard to, you know, use that term around specific individuals who have battled injuries. And you were just referencing Brandon Mosley. I believe I tried to find on the transcript, John, I thought one member of the media asked Tom Coughlin about Mosley, and he said that he did get over the back injury, and he should be back in the mix this weekend. But
okay.
Don't hold me
that.
To that quote. I did
that.
Not find it on yesterday's transcript. It may have been earlier in the week. So I think that he is back in the mix this weekend, but he's another player certainly that has been on the team for a few years, and assuming health cooperates, you know, he has an opportunity to make a statement this weekend.
Yeah, I was just wondering. But I'm just classifying some guys like I think our buddy Robinson, I think Preston Parker, I think Washington, them are guys that are close to being on the bubble. So that's what I mean by them. And I hate to see a guy like Hunt. I hope he could make the practice squad, him, you know what I mean? So that's all I have to say. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it, Joe. Appreciate the phone call. You referenced Akeem Hunt. Based on the rules and regulations of the practice squad, he's eligible to go on the practice squad. The key is, you know, if you did have to part ways with him because of the numbers game, would somebody else come in and claim? But, you know, I mean, it's way too early to tell at this point, considering, you know, we don't know what other teams' needs are and so forth. So I think it really remains to be seen what Akeem Hunt does moving forward in the next two preseason games. But he certainly has had his fair share of flashes.
Did you thought you saw that Mosley was going to play tomorrow night?
Well, I said that he was in the mix. I thought Tom Coughlin had mentioned.
Maybe.
No, but that's
see,
what I'm trying to find. I'm trying to get confirmation
because
on that.
He wasn't out of practice on today's Friday. So he was not out of practice on Wednesday, the last time the team practiced. I'm not sure if he was out there for the walkthrough today or
I
not.
I could have sworn
but,
there was a media
right.
question. Yeah,
I'm trying
to find that.
Either way, we'll keep an eye on Mosley, see if he gets out there. But if he can't go, that just means more opportunities for Bobby Harts to get out there at right tackle and show what he can do. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Dave down in North Carolina. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Hi, Dave.
Doing well, Dave.
I just wanted to couple comments, see what you guys think, and then also on the couple thoughts I've got on the Jets game. Really hate to hear the Nat or Nate Burhey news. I've never seen a team that over the past 3 or 4 years, when they get hit with injuries, it's not just one guy here at this position. I mean, it's the whole unit becomes a mass unit. You know, it's just it's unreal that you know, we've got this many young guys that can't get on the field, and now we're relying on, you know, Cooper Taylor, who I think's got some talent, but I mean, we know his injury history. But before I leave the safety position, the one thing I wanted to ask you guys, I try to follow the beat reporters, and the one thing that concerns me also about the safety position, and I know he's missed some time, so maybe that's part of it, but I don't remember reading this whole training camp any practice reports from any of the beat writers where they're just like, you know, man, Landon Collins really is standing out. Landon Collins really did this. what's your feel on his talent level? Is he to me, I was really high on him. Pro Football Focus made it out to be that he was better in coverage than many were led to believe. But a lot of times when I hear the practice reports, whether it be Jordan Renan with NJ.com, I mean, they label him as strictly a box guy. And I just haven't heard anything, you know, big plays, him standing out. Can you guys add anything to that? And then I'll get to one more issue.
Yeah, no problem, Dave. Well, the last 2 weeks, the reason you ever heard anything is because he hasn't been practicing. I mean, his first practice back since the first preseason game against the Bengals was on Wednesday, and they haven't had an open practice since then. So he's basically practiced once since the first preseason game. So, yeah, that is a big reason. As for before that, in the spring, he was mostly a box safety, the way we saw him line up in practice, and Cooper Taylor was kind of the center fielder. He moved around a lot more once we got to the summer and training camp. He did more deep coverage stuff. Did I see any, like, spectacular running interceptions? I don't think Collins had an interception during training camp practice. Neely, did he? Landon Collins? At any point during training camp? I don't think he had any picks the first couple weeks. So, you know, but just because a guy doesn't flash and have a big-time play doesn't mean that when the coaches go to the tape that he isn't in the right place, he's not in the right position, and his mere presence doing the right thing might prevent the quarterback from even trying to make a play. So it's hard for me to come out and say, because, you know, he hasn't flashed and made big plays in practice the first 2 weeks, that he's somebody that isn't ready to play coverage, because the coaches see a lot more on the tape than I can see live on the practice field.
Yeah, understood. I mean, like you said, I realize he's been hurt. It's just you know, I thought he was a, you know, a lower first round talent, and I thought it was a great move to go get him. And it just, I just haven't heard many characteristics other than he's really intelligent and, like you mentioned, you know, seems to be in the right place at the right time. I would just like to see, not that it has to be a pick six off of Eli, but just really flashing, you know, some athleticism. The other thing I was hoping maybe Pat Hanlon was still in the room and he could deliver a message to Tom Coughlin.
I'll pass it on to him, Dave.
The message would be, please, 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 pretty please, do not play Richburg Saturday night or Reuben Randall or anybody else that has a scrape, scratch, bruise, contusion. I don't care who it is. Please do not play them, because we are already in enough trouble with the injury front, and I do not want to see Richburg, whatever experience he may gain out of a half a play, make that knee worse, or even Reuben Randall with his tendonitis, even though I'm hearing he's feeling better. Please do not play him, please. I mean, it's not worth it. And I'm used to, for about 3 or 4 years now, seeing the Giants play miserable in preseason. I mean, they got to be the worst preseason team when it comes to their offensive and defensive starters in the past 3 years. I mean, they look like the most uncombobulated. I mean, just can't get a first down, can't get a drive going. So just save us all the grief of getting Richburg hurt. Please keep him on the bench. Let's save him for week one against Dallas. I'll take it off the air. Appreciate the show, guys.
Thanks, Dave. I will make sure I have Lance pass it on to Hanlon.
Well, because we know Pat Hanlon listens to everybody, including myself.
Well, especially you.
Yes, especially me.
You're one of his go-to guys. And I will let you know what Pat says to Lance, provided it is FCC qualified.
Yes,
which
frankly, the big caveat.
Probably won't be.
Yes. We'll keep it PG-13 on this program.
What do you got?
One thing I wanted to throw out, because Dave brought up Landon Collins' play, and obviously small sample size, remember, of him being out there in practice in the game. So, you know, when you say you're not seeing him flash or you're not reading from the media that,
right,
you know, he made play after play, it's because he hasn't been out there for too long. But I wanted to throw out this number. This was a great stat I came across via Pro Football Focus. And the big part of the conversation regarding Landon Collins coming out of college, John, and I remember when the Giants drafted him, he's only an in-box safety. He's a guy that you bring to the line, but, you know, coverage is a problem. If you go back to his senior breakdown in 2014, this is according to Pro Football Focus, Alabama didn't use him primarily as a box player. He spent only 211 of his 916 snaps in 2014 in a strong safety alignment at the snap. More often, he lined up as a high safety, 490 snaps of his 916 snaps last season at high safety, or over a slot or split wide receiver, 215 snaps. So more than half of his snaps in 2014 were as a high safety or over the slot or split wide receiver, compared to being brought down primarily as a box player. So those numbers, those breakdowns at Alabama tell a different story than perhaps what the theme and the common conclusions have been about perhaps Landon Collins' play as he makes the transition from one level to another.
And that's what he was referencing, Pro. That was off of Pro Football Focus. So that's exactly what the caller was referencing. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and go out to Phoenix and say what's up to Bill. Bill, what's up?
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Doing great, Bill. How are you?
Bill.
Hey, I'd like to just sort of give you a brief overview of what I see with the Giants. Basically, I see the Giants looking at a 3 or 4 year window because of Eli Manning. And he's the type of guy that if he got great receivers and if he has that running game going, that we have a puncher's chance of going to the Super Bowl because he has done it before. But the elephant in the room, as we know, is the offensive line or maybe an outstanding running back could get the running game going. But from what I see, that unless we fix this, like unless we do something with the offensive line or the running back, it really is not going to make a difference if we have, like, say, make a trade for a good safety or a great safety play. If it's not going to get us to the playoff if the running game is status quo. The running game is the elephant in the room, and we really need to address that, whether it's even giving up draft choices or whatever. I mean, that has to be the priority.
Hey, look, you know, I think you make one really good point, Bill, in that people say, well, you know, VI, you have Beckham, everything's going to be okay. Well, the NFL is not that simple. It's a much more complicated game. And Lance, I interrupted you. I apologize.
No,
but, you know, the Falcons had Matt Ryan and Julio Jones last year. Those guys are pretty darn good. They weren't in the playoffs, were they? I mean, you can go division by division and find other teams that have two guys, that a quarterback and a receiver, that are really, really good. That doesn't mean you're automatically going to be a good football team. And, Bill, I think you hit that right on the nose. You have to supplement that, not just offensively with the running game, but also you have to have a defense that can stop people. That's why the Giants are trying to build a full team here, a complete team that can do all those things.
There's three facets to a football team for a reason. They all need to contribute, and there's multi-facets within those different facets. And on offense, Bill, you referred to the fact that you need your running game to complement your passing game. I would agree with you there. I think that's a very valid point. However, you know, I do think the Giants have addressed that area this offseason via the draft with the offensive line and also bringing in Shane Vereen, because let's not forget, the short passing game, Bill, is an extension essentially of the running game. So if you're not getting the numbers that you desire on the ground, sometimes getting those running backs involved in the passing game and dumping it off for 3 or 4 5-yard pickups is just as effective in moving the chains and setting up reasonable second and third down. So that's what Vereen brings to this offense as somebody else that the defense has to keep close tabs on in the event that Beckham, Cruz, and Randall perhaps can't win their individual battles. So I think that has been addressed. Right now, obviously, it's a wait-and-see approach with what happens in the regular season, but you're right about big picture across the NFL landscape. You need the running game to complement the passing game. John referenced the Atlanta Falcons. I'd also throw out the Baltimore Ravens 2 years ago. Joe Flacco had a very good year the year prior. The offensive line was banged up. Ray Rice struggled out of the backfield. Those numbers dipped. Ryan Tannehill has had years where his offensive line has struggled. He also hasn't had a run game.
How about Drew Brees, Jimmy Graham?
There we go, with the Saints. So a number of top-tier quarterbacks, young guys. The offensive line, the running game doesn't necessarily click. It impacts everybody on offense. All right, Bill. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, unless you got something else for us.
That'd be awesome. That's all right.
Yeah, okay.
Bill, give us a call back on Monday. Yeah. We'll happy to put you back on. Dre in Atlanta. Dre, what's up? You're going to wrap us up today on the phones.
Hey, what's going on, Lance? What's going on, John?
What's up, Dre? What's up, bro?
Dre?
Not much. You know what? I think for the first time in a long time, we're not alone when it comes to injuries. Even though our secondary has been decimated with injuries, but they're pretty much not, you know, veteran safeties. You know, we need the bodies in there for competition. But, you know, when I watch this Cincinnati game and I watch the Jacksonville game, you know, as much as I like this progress, you know, Bennett Jackson still had a lot of holes in the game, whereas he wasn't breaking on the ball. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't trusting what he was seeing. And that right there is very important. You know, so I think we have enough bodies right now. You know, I mean, we could always find someone better with these next cut down to the 73, or to 72 or 75, wherever they cut them down to. We have to, you know, we have bodies in camp that, you know, still promotes some competition, especially with the veterans that we brought in. But right now, you know, we haven't seen what our defense looked like with Prince, you know, and with our DRC out there. But we'll find out this Sunday exactly what we're working with when they go against the Jets. But I'm being patient, you know. It seems like when we have a bad break in the preseason, we do good. It seems like when we have a problem with our defensive ends and their contracts are coming into camp, win the Super Bowl. You know, 07, it was Strahan. 2011 was OC. 2015, it's JPP. I mean, that is close.
That's an interesting trend.
Dre,
I didn't necessarily think about that.
You're reaching now, dude. That
Boy,
you're reaching.
Boy, you got to give me credit.
I do.
I give you kudos. Good, yeah. The creativity points, Dre, are at an all-time high this afternoon on this program. I mean, you could have went. Dre, you could have made it easier on yourself, and you could have said that every 4 years the Giants win the Super Bowl. You would have been clear cut and dry there. You didn't even have to go with contractual issues or anything like that. Every 4 years.
But I'm still on point.
Yeah, listen, no argument there.
You got anything else, Dre?
No, that's it. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks, brother. Right, appreciate
Dre.
It, man.
Thanks for weighing in. That was some trend.
That's not bad.
That was interesting. You know, I'm looking up the numbers from last season, teams that struggled running the football.
Now, conversely, OC kind of complained about his contract every offseason at some point, didn't he?
Well, listen, there's always issues with all teams. It's not just necessarily this organization. A lot of players with the salary cap and so forth, there's always...
Look at the Seahawks.
Yes.
How's that going with
Cam
Chancellor?
Yeah, exactly.
It just happens. And you know what? And this is what I loved. I loved it. What did OC say at the podium when he retired about that?
He goes, you know what? He joked about it, actually.
And when I was a young man, I got mad. I didn't get it. But you know what? Seeing the big picture now, I know exactly where Jerry Russo's coming from.
Absolutely.
I get it.
Yeah.
You know, if you go rework one guy's contract, what's next? And this guy comes up, he wants to get it redone too. And the next guy wants to get it
Set
redone.
Set a precedent. A
and then all of a sudden
one.
You're paying too few guys too much money and you can't build a real roster. So I thought it was I thought it was refreshing that a player could, like, grow up and say, you know what, in retrospect, I've matured a little bit. Absolutely right. And remember, you know, that old OC Jerry thing got nasty in the paper for a little while, but you know they were both yucking it up and laughing and giving each other hugs the other day. It was great. It just shows. Look, everyone's trying to, you know, do what's best for them. Players have to look out for themselves. The team has to look out for the team. And you meet in the middle. Everybody's happy. You win a couple Super Bowls. Bing, bang, boom. You get hugs and kisses. You have retirement press conferences. Everyone forgets all the stuff that happened before. That
on.
Maybe wasn't so good.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it's a business at the end of the day.
Yeah, of course.
And I think OC expressed that. He understands it's a business. But you're right. It was a very refreshing perspective because even players after they retire, you know, sometimes the business aspects
this guy's
irritate
gotta
them.
Oh, this get paid.
Correct. Exactly. But he looked at it big picture perspective. Hey, a general manager has to deal with the salary cap restrictions, has to deal with appeasing to other players. Sometimes you have to make tough decisions. And that's pretty much what he spelled out at his press conference.
Absolutely right. And I just thought it was very refreshing to hear that. And, you know, and Jerry always handled that extremely well. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. You know, OC would get a little upset and angry sometimes, and he would say some things that, you know, people weren't too happy about. But in the end, they always worked that. He came here and he played, and everyone was happy in the end. All right, Lance, we got about a minute to go here. Real quick, top thing, two, three things, whatever you're watching on Saturday, what are you keeping your eye on?
Well, I'm keeping my eye on the safety mix. Who's out there, who gels well with one another, how the communication aspects work out. Offensive line, right side specifically, Jeff Schwartz, another game under his belt. Who gets more snaps at right tackle? Maybe Bobby Hart is going to have an increased presence. And, you know, how the offense overall goes out there for that first half of play, assuming that they're in for the first half, because Cincinnati and Jacksonville, a flash here or there, but consistency wasn't necessarily always apparent from one drive to another. You know, they had some drives against Jacksonville, John, where, you know, they put together a 10-play drive, but can they punch it in? Can they get in the end zone? I mean, that's the next step in the progression and the evolution of this offense. We've seen flashes here or there, but we haven't seen that one complete drive where I think everybody on offense can walk away and say, hey, you know what, guys? We feel good leaving this out there before our first regular season game.
Yeah, I'm not going to be all unique here. I mean, I think this game's pretty simple. I think you want to see on offense, the Giants' offensive line handled a very impressive Jets defensive line and front seven in general well. I think that's important. You would like to see Flowers to continue to progress. Because everyone, you know, talks about the right side of the line. I get it. You don't know who's starting where quite yet based on the way the Giants have tried different guys in different spots and injuries and all that stuff. But you're still going to have a rookie starting at left tackle. And I want to see Ereck Flowers continue to get better. Now, he hasn't had a big bad games or blown assignments or real struggles in practice, but every time you play a game against a good team, you'll want to see him continue to get better and not show any signs of slippage. So I'll be keeping a close eye on Eric Flowers. I think defensively, I want to see them stop the run. I think that's very important. I mentioned it before. Chan Gailey likes to get those short passes in space. I want to see the Giants cover at the linebacker position and the safeties cover in the middle of the field, which I think is a key factor this week. I'm not really concerned about the whole Eli Beckham getting hooked up thing. I think it'll be fine. I'm not worried about that.
He jokingly said, not to cut you off, how many catches did Odell Beckham have last preseason? How did that work out? So there we go. Let's not make a big deal about it. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Absolutely. And that's about it. I wouldn't mind seeing Larry Donnell show me some athleticism and then, you know, start showing, looking like the Larry Donnell from last year. Like to see if Orleans Darkwa can make another mark on specials and on running the football in the second half. Backup defensive backs in the second half. I want to see how they cover. I want to see, you know, Tremaine McBride in the nickel spot. Then I want to see the Mike Harris's. I want to see the Trevor J'Ron Hosley's. That's a big one. I want to see how those guys cover. I think that's a big part of it. Most of all, I don't want to see anybody get carted off the field.
That's priority number one.
Everybody, thanks for joining us here on Giants.com. Big Blue Kickoff returns on Monday, and we're back to our old time noon. And we'll be that way throughout the entire season. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. Stay tuned to Giants.com all weekend long. Remember, it's the MetLife Bowl at MetLife Stadium. Giants and Jets, Saturday night, 7:05 kick. If you're listening on the radio, pregame with Lance Meadow and Jeff Fiegels starts at 6:05 on WCBS News Radio 880. Postgame afterwards, and of course, the game can be seen on WNBC Channel 4 starting at 7:05. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.